More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, unequally yoked. Is the faith driving a wedge between you and your spouse or family? Let's talk about ways to bridge that gap at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everybody. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today we're talking about those people who are find themselves in an unequally yoked situation. That's a biblical phrase that refers to times when spouses especially are not on the same page with regard to their faith. But it doesn't just apply to marriage. It applies to family relationships and other social relationships as well. The faith is supposed to be something that brings us together, that helps us have healthier and deeper and more intimate relationships with others. Pope St. John Paul the Great, in his Theology of the Body, talks about the idea that building the kingdom is really about creating a community of love. With us and the people that God has placed in our lives. The faith should be a big part of what makes that possible. Unfortunately, sometimes the faith really can be a wedge, something that separates us from the people that we love. And if you find that you are unequally yoked in some way, we want to talk through how to overcome those obstacles so that faith can be a path to intimacy and connection. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Give us a call.
Well, I really appreciate, you know, us broadening this a bit into other relationships besides marriage, because with marriage, it's the worst. I'm going to be really straight up with our listeners. That is when being unevenly yoked is really painful. And as you said, Greg, this is a spiritual, scriptural metaphor where really they're talking about two animals, usually oxen, who are supposed to be plowing a field together on an old-fashioned plow, right? And if you've got either two different species, say a horse and an oxen, or a grown oxen and a baby oxen, and the weight differential is wrong, the size is wrong, that animal is actually going to get wounded doing the work that it is supposed to be doing. Its neck can get injured, its whole system is going to be thrown off, you know, bones can get disjointed, and the field isn't really going to be plowed well either. They're not going to be able to do the work that they were put on that plow to do. And often when we get married, we think, oh, this person is so sweet. Oh, we have so much in common. Oh, we sort of have the faith in common. Or they say it's okay to get married in the church. Or they've gone through RCIA. And we don't realize till the progression of our lives, the things that we have to deal with, the raising of the children, that we are a bit off kilter still with that person. And it is causing us some kind of spiritual or emotional or relational pain. But as you said, this can happen when we're in relationships with people closer to us. If we're living with our parents, and this happened for me. I came into my faith in the Catholic Church. My mother despised the Catholic Church. Living under her roof often made us, you know, at odds with each other at times when we had to choose to do different things together, or I had to explain some of my choices to her. This can be true even with friends, where you end up getting into discussions about dating relationships or things like that, and suddenly you realize you have a different worldview because of your faith, and it makes you struggle. And so being unevenly yoked with a spouse or other people, your own children perhaps in your life, can cause us pain, and yet God wants us in relationship with those people.
Yeah.
He wants us to learn and to grow, and often we just boil it down to, well, he must want us in relationship with that person just so we can evangelize them, and suddenly they become this big project. And we don't take time to say, what's God trying to do in my heart and in my life through this? How can I still accompany this person in a way that is truly relational and not just project forming?
Yeah, I mean, and this is actually something that I was talking about yesterday. We didn't have a live show yesterday because I was actually in Baltimore speaking with the priests of the Diocese of Harrisburg, doing a series of talks on pastoral accompaniment and counseling and accompanying couples in particular. One of the big questions that they had was, you know, how do you deal effectively with couples who are coming to marriage preparation or even marriage enrichment when they're not in the same place? And so, you know, this was a big topic of our conversation yesterday. Thank you, all of you who kept those talks in your prayers and my travels in your prayers yesterday. We posted that on More to Life, and I want to thank you for keeping all of that in your prayer intentions yesterday.
Yes, it's wonderful that you got a chance to talk to them all and to really talk about, you know, their needs as priests to be able to serve married couples and to help them to really understand the importance of what the Church teaches and how to enliven marriage through the teachings of our Holy Catholic Church.
But we're talking with you today about the challenges you face in your relationship as you strive to live a faithful life with the people that you love. If you feel like the faith is driving a wedge between you and your spouse or any of the other folks that you care about in your life, let's talk about ways to overcome those struggles at 877-573-7825. With that, let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we thank you for the opportunity you are giving us to spend this time with you and all the good people who are tuning in. And Lord, we thank you for the gift of faith and for the invitation that you give us through our faith to create communion, a deeper communion between us and the people that you've placed in our lives. And yet, Lord, so often our attempts to follow your way and to be your disciples and to live the Christian difference in our lives becomes a point of contention, a wedge that separates us from those we love and want to be in relationship with. And so, Lord, we bring to you all those struggling relationships, and we ask you to help us to live your faith, live our faith in ways that do draw us closer together, that do overcome the obstacles that separate us, in ways that do lead us to be a witness of love to the people that share our lives, so that we can enter into deeper communion with them and draw them through our witness into deeper communion with you. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, unequally yoked. Is the faith driving a wedge between you and your spouse or the other people in your life that you care deeply for but aren't sure how to connect with, especially spiritually? Are you feeling a little lonely in your efforts to live your faith because the people around you, the people closest to you, either don't want to have anything to do with it or can't relate to it or even shame you for trying? Let's talk through all those obstacles and more today on More to Life.
Let's talk now with Marilyn, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, Marilyn. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Thank you so much. My husband has discovered a charismatic church in Ann Arbor, and he loves it. I, on the other hand, prefer the old traditional church, even the Mass in Extraordinary Form, the Latin Mass. And my parish is a small church. It's a very it's like 150 years old. So the seats are not padded. The kneelers are, but the seats are not padded. And it's, he says it's just not comfortable. And even on holidays, Christmas, unless he will not go to mine. I will go with him to his on, you know, like Easter and Christmas and that kind of thing. But other than that, it's just, I feel so lonely when I go alone.
Okay, and how do you guys share your faith at home?
We pray. And
tell me more about that.
Yeah, tell us about that, because the crack in your voice when you said, we pray, it sounds like, Tell us how this works out in your home.
Well, grace before meals is always followed by a Hail Mary. If there is, other than that, on a daily basis, that's about all we do together. If there is some family crisis or something, yes, we will pray together for that.
Can I ask? I mean, you both seem very faithful people, very passionate about God and about the church. What stops you from sharing more of a prayer life at home?
I guess just never concentrated on it. Just never did it. You know, we've been married almost 54 years, and it's something that kind of is outside of my comfort zone. I don't know about his. But it's just
okay.
not totally comfortable.
Okay, so look, I want to give you both props for your faithfulness, for your love of the Lord, for your love of the church, and I want to say this with all love. Okay, so please hear this with all love. Shame on you both. No, really. Look, I mean that affectionately, okay? You guys, there are people
You've
listening.
Got so much.
There are people listening right now who would give their right and left arm to have
a faithful spouse. Yeah.
And for you guys to let your own aesthetic pride separate you from having a godly marriage, in all love, gently, with all appreciation for what you got going on.
And you've got so much.
Shame on you.
Yeah, this
really.
is not like,
come on.
I like pastels and he likes bold colors, so we both have a different room in our house that we decorated. This is Jesus, all right? And you are both so blessed to both be Catholic, where whether you walk into your husband's preferential church or your preferential church, you have got the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ present there for both of you, unifying you in the sacrament of your marriage. And you're just going, I'm not very comfortable.
Like it.
That's called idolatry.
It really is.
It's saying my comfort zone and dressing it up in religion doesn't make it any less just each of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Your comfort zone is becoming more important to you than the sacrament of your marriage.
And the thing is, you know, this is a common challenge for every couple. Every couple, you know, people ask us, what's the biggest problem that couples face in marriage?
Mm-hmm.
And they expect us to say things like communication or pornography or whatever. And those are all huge problems. I'm not pretending they're not. But when it comes right down to it, honestly, the biggest problem in marriage...
In every marriage.
Every marriage is that every spouse is strongly tempted, and some spouses more than others, to love their comfort zone more than they love each other.
And let's take this away from faith, because I know we've got a lot of people yelling at their radio right now. Don't you understand? I'll tell you what I understand. If Marilyn had called in and said every Saturday her husband played golf all day and didn't pay attention to her, and we called it out as idolatry, every woman would be cheering. If every Saturday night Marilyn went out to her knitting club and left her husband all alone every single Saturday night
and didn't care that
he was all alone and missed her, and we called it out as idolatry, every single man would be cheering and saying, see, she's putting something over their marriage. Just because it is a reverent faith but has a preference on how that is celebrated, don't get mad at us when we call it out, because this isn't about turning away from Jesus and saying, well, don't do that. This is about, yes, celebrate the fullness of your sacrament and the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your Savior present in the Eucharist together.
So there's nothing wrong with having liturgical preferences.
Absolutely. I mean,
certain liturgies can speak more, or even styles of worship can speak more to one person than the other. That's perfectly fine. But when you allow those preferences to be a wedge, especially between you and your spouse, that's really unconscionable. And there's no excuse for it. And the fact that you guys, you know, aren't sharing more of your faith at home, also a significant problem. Look, Marilyn, I appreciate that it's not, again, you said you don't pray together in more meaningful ways because it's not comfortable for you. The faith is not meant to be comfortable, Marilyn. I don't know where anybody gets the impression that being a Christian is supposed to be about being comfy. It's not. You know, Jesus says, do you think that I came to bring peace? You know, it's all about challenging your comfort zone, stretching yourself for the sake of deeper intimacy. So I really want to challenge you on this, that I'm glad you found a place that you feel at home worshiping. I'm glad that you have a passion for the Lord and for the church, and that's beautiful, okay? But I need you to love each other and God more than your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And my
practical suggestion would be to say, all right, we're going to discuss this over dinner, and no more of this. I'll just go on holidays because, you know, I'm sort of tipping, you know, my hat to the whole thing, and he should be grateful or she should be grateful. Start every other week. Switch off. Go to the preference of one week, the preference of the other week, and then
offer it up.
But on top of just offering it up and sitting there with your lips tight, go to God in that church, both of you, whichever church you're at, and say, Lord, help me to find what is true and good and beautiful in this. Help me to find you in this Mass today. And then when you leave, talk about what you found that was true, good, and beautiful in that Mass together, every single week.
And I want you to offer up the spiritual practice of not complaining about what both of you didn't like. I want you to focus on what was true and good and beautiful about the experience there, even if you have to stretch yourself to do it. The other thing I want you to do is I'd like you to pick up a copy of our book, Praying For and With Your Spouse, which is all about not just saying words at God as a couple, but really bringing your whole marriage to God and allowing Him to show up in your relationship in ways that I think you're going to find beautiful and powerful even after all these years of marriage together. It's really all about how do we bring God into every part of our relationship, because He wants to use every part of your marriage to draw closer, to help you draw closer to Him and to each other. That's what a sacrament is. It's your whole life should be a prayer. And the fact that you're not using really any of it in that way is sad, and you're missing out. So consider this an invitation to go deeper and experience a deeper shared spirituality in your marriage as well.
And the other thing that I really want you to start doing today is that after you say that grace and that Hail Mary, I want the two of you to just say together, you can start it because you're the one who called, Lord, you've given us so much in each of us having a Catholic faith. Help us to share it together. Lead us and guide us closer to you and to each other.
And help us to love each other more than we love our comfort zones.
Amen.
Tear down the walls in our hearts so that we can love each other the way you want us to. And again, to build on this, check out Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love. It's published through Word Among Us Press. You can pick it up at CatholicCounselors.com or any online bookstore. The title again, Praying For and With Your Spouse. But Marilyn, you and your husband have been given so much. Don't put up these artificial boundaries, all right? Because again, thousands of listeners tuning in right now would give their left and right arm to have what you have, and you're not taking advantage of it. 877-573-7825. We're talking with you today about being unequally yoked. Is the faith somehow driving a wedge between you and your spouse, or you and your loved ones in general? Let's talk about ways to be able to overcome those obstacles so that God's grace can flow more freely through your heart and to the hearts of those who share your life. 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, We'll be joined by Tim and Sue Muldoon, the authors of several books, including Reclaiming Family Time. They're going to be sharing some ideas for how couples can join together around faith issues, even when they are unequally yoked. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
I was raised a Catholic and went to church every Sunday faithfully. I met a boy and he was non-Catholic, so I left the church to be with him. When I was away from church, I yearned to be home. What brought me back was my longing for the Eucharist. The Eucharist fills me with a spirit that you can't find anywhere else. I have a peace when I walk through the doors of the Catholic Church, like that's where I belong.
We invite you to take another look at the Catholic Church. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Beth, why is our health insurance so expensive? Our premium and deductible are so high. Plus, I don't want my family to support a company that doesn't share our values.
Kim, there is another option. Check out CMF Curo. It's an affordable Catholic healthcare ministry where members share their medical costs in community, and it's pro-life. We joined last year and have saved thousands, all without compromising our values. Just go to MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
CMF Curo sounds exactly like what our family needs.
Yeah, that's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're talking with you today about those times when you feel unequally yoked, when the faith is driving a wedge between you and the people that you care most about, especially your spouse, but your family and friends as well. Joining us right now, Tim and Sue Muldoon. Tim is a pastoral theologian. Sue is a counselor and pastoral minister. They are the authors of several books, including Reclaiming Family Time, and they're here to talk about how to overcome the challenge of being unequally yoked. Tim, Sue, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you. Good to
be
here.
Great to be back.
Well, let's start with you, Tim. So set the stage for us here, with some insights just in general about the challenge of being unequally yoked and how couples can deal with that more effectively from maybe a biblical perspective.
Yeah, and something that Lisa was talking about earlier made me think about this fact that the image of being unequally yoked comes in 2 Corinthians, and Paul is just saying, look, God is calling us to holiness. If someone is not on board, then you can't share the mission of becoming holy as a couple and growing in holiness as a family. But it's interesting to note that in 1 Corinthians, Paul is talking about how one spouse can in fact sanctify the other just by being a person of strong faith. And that's an interesting challenge. I mean, faith and its development over the course of a lifetime can be ups and downs and ins and outs. And so to remain rooted in prayer and reminding ourselves that we're sharing a mission, that even if we're in different places with our faith, that we have a mission of growing in our marriage and growing our children and our family in holiness. So, it doesn't have to be the final word if at the moment we feel we're in different places in terms of our relationships with God.
Well, that's a powerful insight, and I think that's really a really important context for this larger conversation. And Sue, I want to ask you, as both a counselor and a pastoral minister, I know that a lot of spouses who are faithful, they don't want to shove the faith down their spouse's throat, but at the same time, they can't be other than what they are, right? Mm-hmm. What would you say to that spouse who feels like they have to hide their light under a bushel basket in their marriage?
Well, like you said, I work with families all the time. And one of the things we focus on in working with the children, and when I have someone who's coming to us and parenting a child in faith on their own, is we're trying to introduce that child to a relationship, not just a religion. And that's where we can invite our non-Catholic spouse, is those core of, this is why this relationship is important to me, and this is how I live and love differently as a result of that relationship, and that's what I want to invite my child into, and that's where you can find common ground. And whenever you have the opportunity, invite that non-practicing spouse to be included in what you're doing. If you're raising your child and there's activities and family activities, don't make them feel like, well, I'm not the Catholic one, so I'm not included. Anytime you can invite them, they may not take you up on it, but invite them and focus on how this relationship changes you, and you're hoping is going to create your child into a loving person, and that you share that mission as a family, even if the rituals and externals of your faith are not shared. Find all those ways that can be a core mission of your family to try to focus on unity.
And what I guess I'm hearing you say, in many ways, this is really comes down to respect. That in mm-hmm. relationships where, you know, even where these faith differences exist, but it's not a wedge, it's because the spouses are really working hard to respect each other enough to try to find what's true, good, and beautiful in each other's perspectives. Where it becomes a wedge issue, and the more it becomes a wedge issue, it's because the couple is really struggling with that larger question of respect and that willingness to love each other more than their own comfort zones. But thank you guys for those insights. Really important stuff. And of course, if folks would like to learn more about your good work, they should check out your books, especially Reclaiming Family Time. And folks, we're taking your calls about being unequally yoked. Is the faith a wedge in your relationships? Let's talk about how to overcome that when More to Life continues after the break.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I don't think people should have negative fears of God, but I think you should get a lump in your throat. You should feel excited. Suppose I was going to take you and introduce you to the Pope or to the president of some country or something. You might get a lump in your throat. Forget it. Every day, you, I, live and move and have our being in the presence of God. These are the class of feelings we should have, and we should have them to an intense degree if we really had the sight of Almighty God. These feelings are the feelings which we shall have if we realize His presence. And in proportion as we believe that He is present, we shall have them. And not to have them is not to realize, not to believe that God is present to us.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hi, I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is Facts for Christianity. It's hard for us to accept that others don't always share our opinion about the authenticity of Christianity. So we debate and argue, hoping to either persuade or discover a new truth. But too often we end up arguing over opinions and not facts. And although our opinions are often facts unto themselves, they're still not facts to anyone else. Arguing opinions is like trying to fill a bucket with no bottom. We need a bottom, something better than opinion to hold up the evidence. We need facts that our opponent will accept. Not just one or two facts, but enough and of the right kind that you'll be prepared to make a reasoned defense to anyone who asks you about the hope and the faith that is within you. Study history and logic, and know the facts for Christianity. To explore more, go to AveMariaRadio.net. Under Resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak. Ephesians 5:21 challenges husbands and wives to defer to one another out of reverence for Christ. In this scripture passage, St. Paul reminds us that while husbands and wives both have roles to play, Christ is the head of the house. You see, couples who recognize Christ as the head of their house are already cultivating mutual respect. Respect isn't just general politeness, it's much, much more. It's about making your default attitude toward your spouse one of fondness and admiration. Happy couples know that they each need to learn from the other's positive influence, call their spouse to holiness, and see the inevitable flaws in the other spouse as opportunities to grow in virtue. Cultivate fondness and admiration for your spouse instead of focusing on his or her flaws, and you will grow into a marriage that is truly exceptional. For more Catholic marriage guidance, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are talking today about the struggle of being unequally yoked. You know, our faith should bring us together, especially with our spouse, but with all the people that we love in our lives. And so often, faith is a wedge issue that ends up separating us from the people that we care about. How do we overcome those challenges and start to let God's grace flow through our hearts, touch the hearts of those we love, and enable us to create the communion between us and others that building God's kingdom really involves? Let's talk it out together. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Bob, who's listening in Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hey there, Bob. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I'm going to save you from the backstory. I've been married 38 years, right now, my wife doesn't go to Mass with me or pray. With me.
Did she ever?
My daughters don't either. Huh?
Did she ever?
Yes. When our children were born, she converted to Catholicism, and we went to Mass every Sunday with our small girls and so forth. And
so what happened?
At some point we fell away. She said that I was hypocritical because I'd go to Mass, and after coming out of Mass, I was sometimes not nice and stuff like that. And so
not nice meaning what?
Like maybe a little aggressive or she saw something in me that she didn't appreciate.
Okay.
And so here I am, 30 years later, pretty much.
Well, that's a long time. Let me ask you, so did you ever address that thing that she said she didn't like that she saw in you after you came out of church?
It was general accusation of hypocrisy that the Mass and...
But again, 30 years is a long time. Like, I would imagine that you'd want to get to the bottom of that, right? And have some conversations with her that say, honey, I am so sorry that you're seeing that. What is it in me that you're seeing, is hypocrisy? And what can I do to overcome that, right? Because as the more Christian person in the marriage, you want to be an effective witness in that. And so if she's calling you out on that stuff, I would think you'd want to look at that. So I guess what I'm trying to get at is, what have you done to try to address that? Or did you just sort of let it go?
Well, I felt that she didn't really give me an opportunity to fix anything, or she thought that it wasn't fixable, or just part of my flaws.
Well, look, she stayed married to you for 38 years, so she's given you plenty of opportunity to fix that. So look, Bob, man to man here, okay? I need to challenge you on this. Your wife told you over 30 years ago that you were driving her away from the faith because she was looking to you as the more faithful Catholic man here. And you were living in a way and relating in a way that was making her feel like you were a hypocrite. And instead of addressing that, you gave yourself an out by saying, no matter what I do, it's not going to matter. She's not going to give me the grace of fixing this, so I'm not going to bother trying. And what you've done is alienated your wife and your children from the faith. And you're going to be called to account for that. Okay? And I'm calling you to account for that today so that God doesn't have to call you to account for that whenever you meet him face to face. All right. So I'm saying this man to man in love. I need you to get whatever help you need to get to face that thing that your wife pointed out to you and fix it. I need you to go to your wife and apologize for ignoring this for 30 years. I need you to go to confession and apologize to God for ignoring this for 30 years. And I want you to pray with all your heart that he would make you be the man that he wants you to be so that you could lead your wife and your daughters in love back to God. That is your job between now and the day you die. And whatever you have to do to fix that part of yourself that has turned your wife and your children off from God, you spend every second of every day of the rest of your life that God gives you fixing it, getting the help that you need, the counseling that you need, the support from other men that you need, the books that you need to read, whatever it is, that is your job. Because when you go to face God, that's the first thing he's going to ask you. What did you do to bring the wife I gave you and the girls I gave you to me? And if you just say to him, well, Lord, you know, 30 years ago, my wife called me a hypocrite, so I stopped trying. He's going to say, be gone from me, I don't know you. All right?
I know that sounds rough, but that is what we're doing down here, is we're he calls us through the people that he's put in our lives who love us to look at where we're not perfect and then cooperate with his grace. He's not asking you to go away and fix it and then come back to him. It's cooperating fully with his grace to constantly be changing and moving more toward relationship and perfection in him. None of us are going to achieve perfection this side of heaven, but we're obliged in relationship with God and those he's given us to love to challenge ourselves, to work toward that. Of course she saw hypocrisy in you. Every single person who's sitting in those pews in any church, in any space of worship, anywhere in the world. There's no religion that you walk into their building and it's like, boom, you're perfect and you're not a hypocrite. It's all about trying to move toward and live toward all the truth that we believe in. It's not easy. And it's not expected of us before we can leave that church and go out and live a normal life. But it's something that we're obliged to work out day in and day out with God's grace.
Yeah, and look, you know, Tim Muldoon was talking about Corinthians, where St. Paul says that your non-Christian spouse is sanctified through the marriage with a Christian spouse. Let's talk about how that happens. That's not magic, okay? How that happens is the Christian spouse gives witness of how seriously they're taking living the gospel in their lives. So that means that the Christian spouse is looking at all the stuff that's wrong with them and taking responsibility for it and working really hard to fix that. And by doing that hard work on ourselves, that's a powerful witness to our spouse and kids especially. It challenges them to grow too, because they see, wow, you know, my this Christian spouse, their faith is making them a better person. It's making them a more loving person. It's making them more open, more real, more vulnerable. I don't know how that's doing it for them, but that's kind of impressive, okay? And it makes them want to be better people too. And it maybe even makes them more open to God and to grace through the process. We don't sanctify our spouse just by going to church and you know, wrapping a warm, fuzzy faith blanket around us and sitting in the corner and ignoring everybody else, okay? It's an active process where our attempts to live the gospel as intentional disciples calls other people on through our example and through our witness. So Bob, you know, I'm grateful to you for your long life of faith. But when you say that, you know, your wife wouldn't give you a chance, she's been married to you for 38 years, my man.
Every day is another chance. Every minute together is another chance to grow in sanctity and love.
I know your girls are grown, all right, but I would like you to pick up a copy of The Bedatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, because what it does is it looks at the 8 Beatitudes, and it focuses on how to become a father after the Father's own heart. And it looks at each of the Beatitudes in light of our fatherhood. It starts each chapter with a reflection on what does it mean to be a son of God. Secondly, the chapter goes on to what does it mean then to live out that sonship in our relationship with our spouse, with our wife. And then finally, it looks at what does this mean then for us to mirror and be an icon of the Father's love with our children. And even though your daughters are grown, I think you're going to get a lot out of that reflection and really see even now where you need to go and how you need to grow as a godly man to be that, to open your heart more to what the love that God wants to give you and transform the way he wants you to be able to share that love in more meaningful ways with your wife, and then to begin to witness to your daughters in a more meaningful way. As you read through that, if you identify certain things about your personhood that you need to address, I want you to be open to getting godly counseling to start to work on that so that you can be the witness that God has been asking you to be for all these years that you've been kind of hiding out from. All right, it's sort of like you've been kind of like, Jonah, you know, where God asked you 30 years ago to go out and witness to your wife and your daughters. And, you know, you got on the boat in the opposite direction. Okay. So let me be your whale.
We're spewing you back out.
Okay, my friend. I appreciate your call. I appreciate the courage it took in calling. And I'm grateful to you for being willing to hear this. I will add you to our Mortal Life prayer list and ask you that God would open your heart to what we're sharing here today so that he can open your wife and your children's heart through you. Thank you for the call.
You know, I just want to add to this. There's a very, very subtle thread running through our calls today, starting with Marilyn, now with Rick, where I think some of our listeners, and Bob, some of our listeners might be going, these folks have been at this a while. You know, 51 years of marriage, 30-plus years of marriage. When do they just get to sit back and rest and just not deal with all of this? Yeah, don't. As long as God has given you life, our entire purpose here on earth is to draw closer to him and to also do that with those he's placed in our lives, especially those he's placed in our lives through sacrament. Okay, so if we are, you wouldn't want your priest to go, I've been a priest for 40 years. I'm just going to hang out over here. I'm never going to talk to my brother priest. I'm not going to learn anything. I'm not going to grow. I'm just going to stay here and be stodgy. Immediately, we see it. All right, well, let's look at the plank in our own eyes as we're married. If we've been married a long time, it's no better to sit off in a corner and say, I'm comfortable here. I know I've done this. I've shown up every morning. I pay the bills. I take care of the stuff I have to get taken care of. It's done. It's not done. We are constantly growing and forming and getting closer to Christ and growing in perfection and growing in love for each other. And that's exciting. That's not just a chore. That's exciting. That's life-giving. That's energy-giving. So the answer to when you just get to sit back in an easy chair and not worry about this stuff, we'll talk to God about that in heaven. We'll see. Maybe he has an easy chair for you there, but it's not that. Here, it's that constant relationship with him.
That's why we talk about the different models of the church, and there's the church triumphant, which is all the saints in heaven, okay? And then there's the church militant, which is the church here, you know, that we're part of now, that we have to kind of keep fighting against the ourselves primarily, but against those obstacles that stop us from being faithful.
Well, and I'm going to say that even in a church triumphant, I mean, St. Therese of Lisieux said, I'm going to spend my heaven doing good on earth. I think that even there, when we have the full vision of Christ in his glory, of God, the Trinity in glory,
We still
have this longing for all those we love on earth to join us. And then we love all of humanity because we can see them and go, oh, they really are part of God. They're God's children. So even the saints are saying, I've got to work here. I've got to intercede. I've got to work for the good. How much more do we have to do that for others and ourselves down here?
We got to take a break. When we come back, we're continuing to talk with you about the challenge of being unequally yoked. It's especially painful when our faith becomes a wedge between us and our spouse. But if there are other relationships where the faith is a wedge issue, separating you from the people that you love, let's talk it out together and find some ways to overcome those obstacles. It's not always easy, but it is definitely worthwhile. Let's talk about how to do it. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue after the break.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities.
4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com. Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The EWTN home video highlight for October is the EWTN Family Celebration from Denver, Colorado. John Ed Williams, Father Mitch Pacwa, Dr. David Anders, Father Innocent, Father Augustino, and Father Angelus show us how faith can move mountains. Order your DVD at EWTNRC.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Our show today is titled Unequally Yoked, as we look at the times when our faith drives a wedge between us and the people that we love, especially our spouse. But really, if your faith is causing conflict, tension, or division between you and anyone you care about, let's talk through how to overcome those obstacles. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Rick, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
Hi, Rick. Welcome to More to Life.
Hello, Greg. How are you today?
All right. Thanks. What's going on?
Okay. Me and my wife were married in the Catholic Church. I was a cradle Catholic, and my wife took CCD classes when she was a kid, not really brought up in the church. Anyways, well, we've been married for 46 years so far. About 10 years ago, we took a class in church about transubstantiation, and after that, things seemed to fall apart, because she didn't understand that the body and blood were actually the body and blood. Well, anyways, she's done research using mostly tools, I would think, that were from Baptist-type research. And, of course, she was coming up with all the things like baptism at birth, once saved, always saved, all the regular things. She kind of struggled through them at first, but then she accepted them. So, to make a long story short, she no longer goes to a Catholic church, hasn't for 10 years, and my two kids or three kids that went to Catholic church no longer do that. A couple of them went to her church and got baptized and all that stuff. Anyways, it's kind of thrown a wedge up between our lives, and she's two times already she's said that I worship a different God than she does. And because of that, I think that I'm making some serious mistakes by stopping the praying at night with her, because I feel defensive. Like everything I'm saying, she's kind of analyzing it. And I don't know. And she's not, I am. There's no doubt about it. So going to church on Sunday is a lonely business, let me tell you.
I'll bet.
Yes, it is.
So let me ask you, you mentioned that you used to pray with her, and maybe you still do to some degree. Can you tell me more about how you guys share your faith at home, or what you try to do to make that faith connection at home as best you can right now?
Well, not to cop out, but what I'm trying to do, and what she does, as we try to exhibit a Christian attitude, even though we're not of the same faith base, there's no doubt in my mind this woman is pretty holy, and I'm striving to be holier every day.
Okay.
So, I mean, through our actions, I guess would answer your question. I think we try to act and behave like Christians should, although sometimes as humans we cross the line.
Sure.
I do. There's no doubt about it. But
tell me, okay, so but you mentioned before that you used to pray together. How did you used to pray together at night?
At bedtime, we'd pray together, and at the time our kids were a little younger in their teenagehoods, and they were doing some pretty seriously things wrong, and we definitely would take it to our
So
God.
You guys were having a crisis then, and you were praying through that. This would have been, what, like 10 years ago or more?
Yeah, maybe less than that. And I'm not saying that's the only time we prayed, but that's what comes to my mind. We used to pray maybe up to last year or so.
All right.
I overanalyzed it, and I thought that, you know, praying in the closet thing and trying to keep it a private matter, or trying not to showboat when you're praying to outdo each other or something like that. I used to think of it as, and I know it was the wrong attitude.
No. Well, you look, hey, Rick, God bless you, man, because there's a lot of confusion about this. And, you know, when we were talking yesterday to the priests in the Diocese of Harrisburg, one of the things I was challenging them on, because this is something that we need to do better as a church, is, you know, when couples come for marriage prep, we do everything except teach them the one thing that we could actually teach them as a church. We give people communication training, and we talk about, you know, families of origin stuff, and we don't actually teach couples how to pray together. That's the one thing that they ought to be able to get from the church. So, you know, you're not alone. The reason I bring this up, okay, is that, again, you know, you and your wife are both faithful, and God bless you. You're able to say, you know, that even though you disagree on a lot of doctrinal stuff, you see her as a holy woman who loves the Lord, and you're trying to be a holy man who loves the Lord. You know, that's beautiful. The reason I bring up prayer is because God doesn't want you to be separate. You know, you both love Him, and when you love somebody and somebody loves you, you know, that person doesn't want you to not be in love with each other. You know, and so God loves us more than anybody possibly could. And He knows you guys love each other, and He wants you to be in communion with each other. So when we struggle as husbands and wives to have that communion, going to God and asking Him to teach us to do it is really important. So I would love for you to do two things. One, I'd like you to pray every day together with your wife, and about everything, okay? But have one sentence at least about these differences, to be able to say, Lord, you know, my wife and I both love you with all of our hearts, and we both want to serve you with all of our hearts, and we both want to be open to your will with all of our hearts. She knows what she thinks. I know what I think. Please help us to know what you want for our lives so that we can bring our hearts and our souls and every part of our lives together in you. Teach us how to do that step by step so that we can be the couple that you want us to be. You can add any other prayer you want to add to that, but start with that piece, okay? And ask God to help you negotiate those differences. Beyond that, I know that her church is hostile to your Catholic faith. I would like you to continue going to Mass, please, as often as possible, certainly every Sunday and holy days, but, you know, if you can do every day, great. But I would also like you to go to her church with her. That's going to be a real sacrifice for you, and it's going to be a real challenge for you.
It's also going to be a great witness to her. Honey, I'm always going to go to my church because Jesus is present there in the Eucharist, but I love you and respect you enough that I want to share faith with you. So this is my Sundays now. I'll go to Mass Saturday night or early Sunday morning, then I'll go with you. It'll be a beautiful witness to her and let you grow in things you can discuss and pray about together.
And keep, you know, reading and exploring your Catholic faith so that you can understand it better yourself, and gently explain it to her whenever questions do come up. But don't make it about fighting with her. You know, if she challenges you on these things, you can say, like it says on the board, that you've tried to get her to listen to Catholic Answers or Open Line or those things, and she won't listen. You know, instead of making it about a fight, if she challenges you on your faith, you just say, look, I understand that you have questions. I'm not really good at answering those questions. I've got some resources I'd love to share with you if you're willing. If you're not, then let's just pray that God would help us through these differences. Don't make these differences about fighting. Don't make your faith about fighting with your wife, okay? Make it about coming together with your differences before God and asking Him to work, help you work those things out in his love, because you love him, both of you love him, and he loves you both, and he wants to facilitate that communion. It can only happen through prayer. This kind of prayer life that we're talking about, we describe in detail in Praying For and With Your Spouse. We talk about praying through conflicts together with your spouse. We talk about discerning big questions together. We talk about how you can use every part of your marriage to draw closer to God, even if you are unequally yoked with your spouse. I really encourage you, Rick, and all of our listeners to pick up a copy of Praying For and With Your Spouse. I really believe with all of my heart that it is going to open up your hearts to God's grace in ways that will surprise and amaze you. Check it out. Praying For and With Your Spouse, available at CatholicCounselors.com, as well as all the other resources we've discussed today.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.